night. Oh, that was amazing. That was an amazing time of worship. It's good to be with you guys this morning. As I said, Kevin is on a little retreat, kind of spending some time with some of his family. And so I'm happy to be here with you guys this morning. We forgot to mention that if you are here for the very first time at Velocity or anything like that, we have this Velocity canvas back here that we'd like you to sign it. You know, we have everybody signing it that comes to Velocity in the year 2006. So we've got a bunch of multicolored Sharpies up here and stuff like that that you guys can use to sign that. Make sure you do that before you go if you're here for the first time, or if you come all the time and you just never took the opportunity to sign the canvas, all right? So let's get into God's Word. Let's pray first, and then we'll have some time of Bible study. Father, thank you so much for who you are. How great is our God? As I was singing that, I was just thinking how true those words are. You are truly amazing. You're so great in our lives. And oftentimes, we don't recognize how great you are, especially when times are hard. And so, Father, I pray that this morning we would recognize how great you are and that you would open our hearts and open our minds to be able to receive what you have for us in your word. Help us to be willing to make changes in our lives if you so move us to do so, you so speak to us. And Father, just help us to be willing to do whatever we need to do to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to talk about hope, okay? Now, there are a lot of things that on a daily basis we hope for, you know? I can say right now that I hope it's not hot tomorrow because I don't like the hot weather, you know? I hope it's not hot. I love to go to Disneyland. I hope I get to go soon. That'd be cool, you know? As I mentioned, Kevin's on a little trip visiting his family in Missoula, Montana. I hope he has a good time. You know, and I can think of a million things that I hope for, and none of them am I really sure about, because I can hope all I want that it's not going to be hot tomorrow. But the fact is, we live in New Mexico and it's getting close to summertime and it gets pretty hot. So it's probably going to be hot tomorrow. I can hope that I get to go to Disneyland, but I'm kind of broke, so I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. You know, I could hope all I want that Kevin has a good trip, but in reality, it may not go that well. I don't know. He may not have a very good time. I hope that doesn't happen, but the thing is, we use the word hope differently than the way that the Bible uses the word hope. When we use the word hope, what we really mean is that we wish. We wish something good will happen. I wish, but I'm not really sure about it. And again, this is not the correct usage of the word hope as it's used in the Bible. And actually, it's not even the correct usage of the word hope at all. Because even the Webster's Dictionary defines hope differently than the way that we use it. Let me tell you the definition in Webster's Dictionary of the word hope. It's to desire with expectation of attainment and to expect with confidence. Expect with confidence. That's not the way we use the word hope. We say we wish or whatever. So when the Bible talks about this hope, it's speaking of things that we can desire or expect with full confidence of obtaining those things. So turn with me now to 1 Peter. That's what we're going to be studying today. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I've entitled today's message, A Living Hope in a Dying World. A living hope in a dying world. Because the thing is, whether you have noticed it or not, this world is dying. This world is dying. The Bible says it. 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away. And that's the way we talk about, that's the way we say when somebody has died, we say, oh, that person passed away. Well, this world is passing away. And you don't have to look too far to see it either. You can look and watch the news. You can see what's going on in our world. across our country and in different countries, the war and the craziness, the violence and everything that's going on. And you can say, this world is dying, man. You know, you can look at school. You guys go to school and you can just look around at the people, the way that the people are living, the way that they talk, the way that they just live their lives rebelliously, anti-God, and say, man, this world is dying. You know, you can just go to dinner somewhere. You know, sometimes I'll go eat somewhere and we sit next to a table of people that are just, I mean, you can just overhear them. I'm there with my kids, my family, and people are just, you just see, man, this world is dying. Everywhere you look, you can see the fact that this world is dying. So many people, this world is full of people who hate God and love sin. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So this sinful world is dying. And the fact is, that can be pretty depressing sometimes for us as believers. Because we're trying to live for God and we're trying to please God with all of our lives, and we'd love to see the world honor God. We'd love to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and we look around and all we see is this dying world. So we're living in this dying world and we've got a sinful nature, and then living for God isn't always easy, is it? As a matter of fact, being a Christian, I've said before, is not for wimps. It's not, because if you think about the life that a Christian is called to, we're called to deny ourselves and humble ourselves and love people we don't like and embrace suffering and serving and endure persecution and pain, all the while being joyful and praising God. Not that easy all the time. Not that easy. As a matter of fact, what can be easy is to lose heart. And to get depressed and feel like we want to just give up if we don't have some sort of hope. And that's exactly what we're going to get today in 1 Peter chapter 1. A living hope in this dying world. So as we study today, we're first going to see the substance of our hope. And then we'll learn about the validity of that hope. As Peter points out, three aspects to look at that actually validate this living hope that he speaks about. So let's read our text and look first of all at, if you're taking notes, number one, the substance of this hope. The substance of this hope. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I love the way that Peter starts off this letter. He starts off by praising God. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know, have you guys ever been so excited to tell somebody something amazing that you did that you just start off by like praising yourself? You're all, dude, check it out. I'm amazing. I just pulled off a 360 in the skate park, you know? Or, dude, my soccer game today, I'm incredible. You guys should have seen me. 3 goals and like 5 assists. I'm an amazing man, you know? Or whatever the case may be. Well, that's what Peter's doing right now. He's so excited that he's about to talk about this living hope. What an exciting topic to speak about. And he's like, I'm just so excited. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's so amazing because he gives us this hope. And so he starts off by worshiping. And I'm glad that we started off the same way this morning, by worshiping God, because I feel the same way. I'm so excited to talk to you guys about the hope that God has given us in Jesus Christ. But Peter goes on to speak about this living hope that he talked about in verse 3. He said that Jesus Christ has begotten us again to a living hope. Now, we talked about what hope really is, this confident expectation. But what is a living hope? Talked about what hope is. What's a living hope? Does that mean we're going to meet some living guy named Hope and he's just going to come up and be all, hey, how's it going? I'm Hope, you know, and freak you out? No, that's not the case. I think about hope, living hope, and I think about the opposite of living. What's the opposite of living? Dead. Yeah, exactly. And so I think about things that are dead, and things that are dead, they don't grow, they don't change in any way, they don't produce any fruit, they're unproductive. And so that would kind of describe a dead hope, unproductive, unchanging, you know, just kind of there. But in contrast to that, a living hope then would be growing and fruitful and changing and productive. So that's what this living hope is that Peter talks about. It's a hope that has power and that changes our lives. This confident hope in God that has the power to produce changes in the way that we live. Now, maybe some of you guys can relate to me on this. I love Dion's. I love to go to Dion's. And you know, I love their pizza, and I pretty much love everything there. But it's the subs that I just really love. You know, go to Dion's, get a 10-inch turkey and Swiss sub, forget the Greek dressing, get the Dion's ranch, the amazing liquid gold, and just, like, pour it, drench the sub in Dion's ranch, and just go to town on it. That's what I love. But I think about the sub. The thing is, the substance of that Dion sub is the meat. It's the turkey, you know? Turkey and Swiss. It's amazing. That's the substance of the sub. And if it didn't have the meat, it'd be lame. It wouldn't even really be a sub in my, you know, definition. Just like a bread with lettuce and tomato and mayonnaise. You know, maybe if you're a vegetarian, that's good. But if you are, you should probably repent and start eating meat. No, I'm just kidding. Vegetarians are cool. But the thing is, that sub isn't the same without the meat. The meat is the substance. And I've gotten a skimpy sub before where it didn't have that much meat, and I was kind of bummed out. But the same is true with our hope. Just like that sub isn't anything without the substance, our hope is nothing if it doesn't have substance. And what is the substance of this living hope? Well, it says it here in verse 3. It's the fact that Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven. That is the living hope that we have. That because through the resurrection, because Jesus Christ has resurrected, now we have this living hope that when we die, we also will be resurrected with glorified bodies and be with Jesus Christ for eternity in heaven. That's the substance of our hope. And no matter what's going on, we can look to that and say, man, I know today's kind of a bad day, but guess what? I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. That's the inheritance that he's speaking about, this heavenly inheritance. Now, that's and this inheritance is not like one that you inherit something when your grandma passes away or something, and she might leave you a house or a car or some sort of worldly possession that's great, it's a blessing, but the thing is, sooner or later, it's going to get run down. It's going to get broken. And it's going to be worthless eventually. But this inheritance, this heavenly inheritance, will never wear out. It'll never get old or lose its worth. This eternal inheritance that we're speaking about consists of such things as joy and peace and righteousness and perfection. God's visible presence. You know, we know that God is here in this room with us right now. And we know that he's ever present with us. Wherever we go, God is with us. But I'm talking about God's visible presence. Being able to behold God in his glory. Hanging out face to face with Jesus. And rewards in heaven. What? Rewards in heaven? Like heaven is not, it's not good enough. We get rewards as well. Oh my gosh, that's going to be amazing. What kind of rewards do we get in heaven? I'm going to be in heaven and like Moses is going to come up to me and be like, hey, dude, you going to the award ceremony? You know, I heard you're nominated for a few rewards, man. That's going to be sweet. So I'm excited about that. And I don't know about you guys, but that gives me hope. I get excited about that. So because Jesus Christ is resurrected, we receive this heavenly inheritance, which is the substance of the living hope that Peter's talking about here. This inheritance is what we have our hope in. But how do we know that this is for sure? How do we know that this isn't just, you know, some lie? Well, let's look at three reasons for the reason that the validity of this hope. The validity of this hope. Now, Peter, in this passage of scripture here that we're going to look at, gives us three things to consider that validate this living hope for us. They validate this living hope. And the first one we see in verse 5, let's read it. It says, you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So the first thing that he says that validates our hope is the fact that this hope is protected by God's power. This hope is protected by God's power. Now, this is the thing. Whenever I do something, it's going to be a little sketch. That's like, it's going to be a little sketchy. That's just the way that it is with me, you know? Because if I change like the brake pads on my car, I'm not really sure that it's going to stop. I hope that my car will stop if I change the brakes on it. And I'm not talking about the biblical usage of the word hope. I'm saying I'm not sure that my car is going to stop if I do the brakes on it, you know? Another thing, if I do laundry, you know, I'm just hoping that my clothes don't come out pink and baby-sized, you know, or something like that, because I have a tendency to mess things up. I have a tendency to totally mess things up, and if maybe you guys are the same way. You're like, man, everything I do, I mess it up. Well, concerning this living hope, you can rest assured, because we have nothing to do with this living hope. It's all God. We have nothing to do with it. Verse 3 says that according to His abundant mercy, that Jesus Christ has begotten us again. He did it. It's only because of God that we're born again. It's only because of God that we have this hope. So because we have no part in it, we can't mess it up. That's exciting to me, because I know that I would. And verse 5 says that we're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. Now, God is a lot of things. He's got a lot of cool attributes and characteristics that make Him God. And one of His main attributes is the fact that He's omnipotent. You guys are like, omni what? Omnipotent is just a fancy word that means all powerful. God has all the power in the world. And so if God has all the power in the world, then He's more than capable of keeping us. He's more than capable of making sure that we don't lose our salvation. Lose our salvation? There's no such thing. There's no such thing as losing our salvation, because if God truly saves you, then He's got the power to keep you. If God's truly saved you and you can get away from Him somehow, then that makes Him not perfect. That makes Him not all-powerful. That makes Him not God. So if God's truly saved you, He can keep you. Now you're saying, Isaac, it says, though, that, you know, in verse 5, that we're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. You said I didn't have any part in it. I put my faith in Jesus. I accepted Jesus. Well, let me set just a couple things straight. First of all, I didn't accept Jesus. Jesus accepted me. God is holy and perfect. I'm the wretched sinner. I didn't accept God. I'm lucky that He accepted me. Okay? And secondly, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, yes. But it's God who gives us the ability to even have faith. Faith is a gift of God. Let me tell you what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says. Maybe you can write it down and look at it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So even having faith is a work of God in and through our lives. So this living hope that we have is a work of God and protected by His power. That validates the hope that we have. The second thing that he says validates it is the fact that this hope is proven by persecution. It's proven by persecution. That's the next thing. Let's look at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, as I mentioned earlier, life sometimes can be hard. Things happen in this life that are very hard for us to deal with and sometimes painful. Sometimes they cause us suffering when our parents are fighting all the time. And now they're maybe considering divorce. Maybe they've already gone through a divorce. And so those type of things can be painful and hard on us. When no one at school likes us, feels like we don't have any friends. And maybe sometimes we're even getting threats that people want to harm us in some way. People are going to jump you. You know, I used to get that all the time. People used to be like, dude, we're going to jump you after school. And I got jumped a couple times, and it wasn't that good. It wasn't that great. Maybe a family member or a very close friend dies or even commits suicide. These kind of things happen in life. These are true life events. And maybe some of you are even going through something like that this morning. Maybe this morning you're dealing with the pain and the suffering of one of these type of things, or there's many other things that I didn't mention that can cause difficulty, times of trial in our life. And the thing is, Peter wrote this letter to a group of people who were going through hard times. These guys were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And when I talk about persecution, I'm not talking about, oh, they made fun of them for carrying their Bibles, or they had a Christian bumper sticker on their car and people were like, ah, yeah, you're dumb, you got that sticker, and they're all, oh, we're being persecuted, it's so hard on us. No, these guys were seriously, their lives were at stake. People were being killed, martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Just because they were a Christian, just because they believed in Jesus, they were being killed. So these people that Peter is writing to are running for their lives. They've probably lost some family members or friends to martyrdom. And they're going through a hard time in their life. But Peter writes this letter and he says, dudes, I know that you're going through some extremely hard times right now. I know that your life is hard. But guess what? You've got this living hope that's going to be proven by your persecution. This living hope is proven by your persecution. He says that with this hope, in verse 6, he says that they can greatly rejoice no matter what their circumstances are. No matter what is going on in their lives, they can look forward to this hope that they have of eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ and have joy even in rough times. So when we go through hard times, we can think of that hope, that heavenly inheritance that we have, and have joy. But is this truly a living hope? When things get really hard in life, and it seems like nothing is going our way, and it seems like we just want to fold and give up and die, is this living hope going to be all that it's cracked up to be? Well, we're not going to know that until we suffer, until we experience pain, until we experience hard times. How are you going to know if Jesus is there for you in times of suffering if you never suffer? How are you going to know that Jesus gives hope and peace and joy in hard times if you don't go through hard times? Verse 7 says that our faith or our hope is tested and proven by fire. That's when our faith is really tested, is when we go through hard times. Can you still love Jesus? Can you still trust Jesus? Can you still find joy in Jesus when times are hard and life isn't going your way? So the validity of this living hope is proven by persecution and proven by hard times, tested by the fire. And the fact that we're able to rejoice even in the worst of times because we have this hope of eternity with Jesus. That's what proves our hope. And thirdly, it says that this hope is predicted by the prophets. It's predicted by the prophets. Let's look at verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 12. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Prophecy always blows my mind. You know, to think about the fact that these old dudes back thousands of years ago were writing about things that have come to pass thousands of years later and things that we still look forward to coming to pass. They were writing about them. Thousands of years before Jesus came to the earth, they're prophesying and they're writing about how Jesus would be born and how Jesus would die. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 22, David describes in detail the effects of Roman crucifixion, a practice that wouldn't even be invented until 1,000 years after his time. Roman crucifixion hadn't even been thought up, and he's describing it. So these guys were writing about things that they didn't understand. You think about it. These guys are writing about this Messiah who's going to come, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign forever. And at the same time, they're writing about this very same Messiah that he's going to suffer and he's going to die. These guys are like, what? So they're writing these things and they're studying the things that they're writing going, this doesn't make, I don't see how this is going to come to pass. They don't understand it. They're studying it. And the thing is, though it didn't make sense to them, they believed it in faith because they said, hey, God said it. It must be coming to pass. But these guys are writing about things that we still look forward to today. You can look at Isaiah 11 or Isaiah 35, Psalm 45, and read about the fact that they prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ. And so God moved these men to write these things that would further validate this living hope that we have today. It also says things that angels desire to look into. I was thinking about that. You know, we often don't think about angels, but they can't comprehend the love that God has for us. They can't really comprehend this living hope because Jesus Christ didn't die for them. They weren't sinful and wretched, and Jesus Christ showed them grace and mercy and saved them. They're looking down at earth and saying, why does God love these guys? They're disobedient. They curse him. They don't want anything to do with them. Yet God loves them. Why would God send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for these guys? They're not even thankful for anything that he does. They don't even recognize him as God. And then the Bible says that we're gonna judge over the angels. The Bible says that. And these angels are going, what? These guys are gonna judge us? They look at these things and they desire to look into it. They desire to understand what this living hope is all about. So if you're a Christian in here today, Maybe you're going through some hard times. Maybe life isn't as easy as you thought it would be when you gave your life to Christ. Be encouraged. You have a living hope. And that's the hope of eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. And maybe that hope isn't as powerful as it should be because sometimes you sin. Sometimes you mess up. You blow it. Well, take hope in the fact that if you sin, that doesn't mean, oh man, I'm not going to heaven now. You don't have to wonder about that. This living hope is protected by God. And you're going to mess up sometimes, but what you need to do is get up, confess, repent, and keep on living in obedience, knowing that you have this living hope. Maybe you're going through a rough time in your life. Maybe one of the things that I said kind of hit home with you. Or maybe you're going through something else that's tough. God's giving you an opportunity to experience just how real and powerful your salvation is. Like I said, you're never going to know how God will be with you and give you peace during hard times until you go through hard times. Your hope is proven by persecution. It's proven by the fire. And as you read your Bible, be encouraged as you read about the way that these prophets spoke of and predicted the second coming of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven that we look forward to. These guys predicted it, and it's amazing. Take hope in that as you read your Bible. Be like, this is amazing. I look forward to this, and I can know that it's real, that it's a living hope. And if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you haven't given your life to Christ, and guess what? You don't have this hope. So that's kind of a bummer. But the thing is, it doesn't have to stay that way. Maybe as I've been talking today, God's been speaking to your heart. And he's been showing you, man, I'm a sinner. I'm so messed up. Why do I do the things that I do? I'm so in need of God's grace. I'm so in need of God's forgiveness. I need this hope. This living hope that can help me through this life. Well, if that's you today, come talk to me or to Brandon, Ken, any of the leaders. We're here for you guys because we want to talk to you about how you can have this living hope by allowing God to save you, responding to his call on your life to salvation, repenting of the sins that you've been living in, turning from this lifestyle that you've been living that you know is contrary to the life that God wants you to lead. You guys can have this living hope of eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ today. Come talk to us. Father, thank you so much for this time. Bless this study, Lord. Help us to meditate upon the living hope that you have for us. Let that carry us through. And Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't have that hope, just give them the boldness and the courage to come up and talk to us so that they can leave here knowing that they've got eternity in heaven to look forward to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.